If we look at the mysteries in the New Testament, it helps us stay safe of false doctrine. Last week I had to stop things kind of abruptly a little bit because we ran out of time. There's a statement on the last week's outline. If you want it, I'll give it to you. But I just need your attention just for a second. There's only two overviews of the Bible. They call it systematic theology. What systematic means is how you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Your theology, your study of God. What is your mindset when you read the Bible? There's only two systems. There is either covenant theology or dispensational theology. And that's what we did not get to cover last week. I'm just going to cover it real quick, and then if you'd like the outline, I'll give it to you. Covenant theology looks at the covenants that God made with Abraham, David, and it bases everything off of covenants. Dispensations is divisions in the Bible where God dealt with people differently in one dispensation than he did another. I'll give you an example. When Cain killed his brother Abel, did God kill Cain? No, he put a mark on him, right? But in the dispensation of government, after Noah, God said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." God said, if anybody kills somebody else, murders them, then they're to be put to death. That's capital punishment. That's where we get the idea of that. So that's two dispensations. A murder happens, and God deals with them differently. Those are called dispensations. What are we? As Bible-believing Baptists, we're dispensational. We're not covenant theologians. Covenant is Calvinism and all that stuff. And I made a little chart out there. You say, Pastor, what covenant are we under? I'm under the covenant of grace. We're all under the covenant of grace. I don't deserve salvation. I didn't do it. There's nothing. I'm saved by grace. I'm kept by grace. I serve by grace. We're under grace. And we don't observe covenants. We observe divisions in the Bible. Why? Because God tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. There's dividing lines. We're supposed to do that. I wanted to go through that with you last week. Did not get a chance. That's probably another Bible study. Okay, so that was half the Bible study that was on the back side of the sheet last week. Now, you're looking here. We're looking at the mystery of, in 2 Thessalonians, it mentions this mystery right there at verse number 7. Okay, and I'll read verse number 7. You just follow along with me here. And it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The name of the Bible study tonight is called The Mystery of Iniquity. There is something, now the word iniquity is another word for sin. It's more specific. It normally deals with morality and things. But it says, God says here in the New Testament, through the Apostle Paul, he used to pen this, he said, this mystery of iniquity is something that is starting to work that was not working in the Old Testament. And it's going to grow. So let's look at, tonight's lesson is very prophetic. We're going to look at a lot of future events. Look at verse number 1 and let me see if I can talk you through this, okay? Ready? Verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. That is the second coming and the rapture in one verse. The coming of Christ is when He comes to fight the Muslim armies of the Antichrist. Our gathering together unto Him is when He calls the saved home in the rapture. He just mentions those two things. Now look at verse number 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Why are they shaken and troubled in their spirit? Here's what happened. You ready? In 1 Thessalonians, somebody died in the church. Somebody passed. They got scared and they said, Somebody, a member, passed away in the church, and now the rapture hasn't happened, so what's going to happen? So 1 Thessalonians is used to teach you about the rapture. Don't be scared. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the Lord to meet the air. In 2 Thessalonians, this is important. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, somebody died and they got scared. Ah, they're going to miss heaven. He writes them to say, no, you don't have anything to worry about. In 2 Thessalonians, a bloody persecution breaks out. And they are starting to be killed by the hundreds. And they're watching family members being butchered. And this persecution breaks out. And so now the thought comes this way. Oh no, we must be in the tribulation, and we missed the rapture. And God uses Paul to pen the book of 2 Thessalonians to teach about the second phase of the Lord's coming. 1 Thessalonians is about the rapture. 2 Thessalonians, its context is the second coming of the Lord. It's bloody. It's awful. What's happening? And he said, with what you're going through and your struggles, he said, I don't want you scared. Now, we'll come back to this, but let me show you what I'm talking about. In chapter 1, you're right there in chapter 2. Go to chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, those who are suffering, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That is not the rapture. That is not the rapture when Jesus appears and says, come on home, and the dead in Christ rise, and then we which are alive with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we're caught up. This is talking about when Jesus comes with his angels, and Revelation 19, we're on white horses right behind him. Then look at the next verse. It says here, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. All I'm trying to show you is the context of chapter 2 Thessalonians is the second coming of Jesus. And in the first Thessalonians, he comes, he appears, poof, and we're gone. In the second one, he comes with everlasting fire. And when Jesus comes out of the clouds and we ride behind him, the blood, the Bible says, he's going to slaughter the Muslim armies of the Antichrist. And the Bible says the blood is going to flow 4.5 feet deep. And the Red Sea, that's a prophetic name. One day when Jesus comes, the blood of the armies of the Antichrist is going to run down to the Red Sea, and it will turn the Red Sea red. It will be red with the blood of men. That has not happened yet. This is the second coming. Now, go back to chapter 2. Okay, so wanted to put it in context there. In chapter 2, he says here, verse number 3. I'm at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for here's two words that ought to be marked in your Bible: that day. It's interesting. If you take a concordance and look up that day in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament, it's talking about that day is the day Jesus comes again to reign on the earth. So he says that day, the second coming of the Lord, shall not, watch, look what he says here, shall not come except, and then he's going to list two things, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he says two things are going to happen. Before Jesus comes back, he said, no, you didn't miss the rapture. No, you're not in the tribulation period. He said, before Jesus comes back, before that day, two things are going to take place. A falling away. Now, I was taught that that's the rapture, but when you look up the Greek word to that, it's apostasia. The word apostasy means something that was standing firm, then falls. You apostatize when you say, I believe the Bible, And then under pressure and persecution, you say, I no longer believe it. That's apostasy. Okay? I can give you more illustration. I don't think anybody's hurting for that. God says the second coming is going to, the first thing that's going to mark the second coming, it's got to happen before, is an apostasy among Christians. Then the second thing that'll happen is the revealing of who the Antichrist is. Do you all see that? Then shall that son of that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin being revealed. In other words, after the rapture happens, picture the rapture happening. Okay? It can happen any moment. We go up, those that are left behind that don't have Jesus and aren't saved, car crashes, airplane crashes, pilots that are saved, taken out of their plane, and then their plane crashes. There will be chaos all over the world. The Antichrist will then be revealed after we're out of here, and he'll step on the scene and he'll say, I have the answer. Politically, economically, I can help bring peace. It says he's going to speak words of peace, and he's going to wage war with peace. Islam. Peace. Okay, probably just a coincidence. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's next week's Bible study, okay? You'll enjoy the mystery of Babylon. But he's going to have to come on the scene, and the Antichrist, who he is, will be revealed. Nobody knows who the Antichrist is. I know Obama had a limousine that was called the Beast, okay? But no, President Obama was not the Antichrist, okay? That's what he called his limousine, okay? Getting in the Beast. that's a goofy name for a car. But no, we don't know. And by the way, nobody knows who the Antichrist is right now. It will not be revealed until the rapture takes place. The mystery of iniquity is going to focus on two things. I tried to make you a chart there. It's first of all going to be, where it's going to focus on ramping up to it, and then the tribulation. So tonight I thought we would take a small journey as far as through the building up, getting ready, the world getting ready for the tribulation, and then a look at the Antichrist in the tribulation. So, let's finish 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because it's important that you have your Bible marked and that you look there. First of all, look at verse 4 now. So he's going to describe this man of sin, this son of perdition. Can I stop there just for a second? The Antichrist, the tribulation, is seven years long. In the first part of the tribulation, he's called the man of sin. In the second 3.5 years of the tribulation, he's called the son of perdition. There's only one other person in the Bible that's ever been called the son of perdition. Does anybody know who that is? Judas. It will be the spirit of Judas. You say, who was Judas? We'll find out. But Judas is a spooky character to me, okay? Betrays the Lord, then hangs himself, and then it says, and he went to his place. Doesn't say that of anybody else in the Bible when they die, okay? So watch this. You got the son of man, the man of perdition, the man of sin and the son of perdition. Look at verse 4. Who, he's now talking about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, the Antichrist, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to declare himself God. That's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation. Let's keep on reading here. Verse number 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now watch carefully. Verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Everybody, this is 2,000 years ago now. He said the mystery of iniquity started working then, but it's pointing to only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word let means to hinder. We don't use the word let like that. We use the word let means what? Allow. Right? That's how we use it. But in tennis, how do they say it got hindered? Don't they holler, let? they still use it as a foul. In other words, hindered. It was let, you know, if it hits the net, all that stuff. So the word hinder, you ought to have in your Bible, right to the side there, hinder or hindereth. So it says, he who now letteth will let. Who is he that is hindering sin in the world right now? John 16, verses 11 through 13 say, when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came, the Comforter, and he convinces or convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Spirit is in the world now convicting of sin. John 16, verses 11. We don't have time to go there tonight, but I'm just trying to give it to you. So he who hinders is going to keep on hindering until he's taken out of the way. That's what verse number 8? That's what verse 8 says. I'm sorry, verse 7. When are we taken out of the way? Right by that phrase, taken out of the way, you ought to have written in your Bible, the rapture. Okay? The rapture. Then watch what happens. So you've got the second coming in verse 3, right? Jesus comes 7 years after the rapture. At the end of verse number 7, you've got the rapture, and then watch verse number 8. And then, after the rapture, shall that wicked be revealed. Stop. Something ought to stand out to you. That capital W. In your King James Bible, it's capitalized because that wicked, that's a name for the Antichrist. That's a name for the Antichrist. Then shall that wicked be revealed. All right. And then it says here, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is talking about during the tribulation. There's Luciferians right now. That's a religion in America. That's where they worship Lucifer. And they actually worship Satan as somebody who is going to conquer God. And God plainly says, Satan's going to have 3.5 years on this earth, and I'll show that to you, and then he is going to be consumed. He's going to be destroyed. So here, let me just finish this off with verse number 10 and 11. Ready? And with all deceivableness, deceit, of unrighteousness in them that perish. I wish you'd take note of this and notice this. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, for what cause? Because they wouldn't listen to the gospel. What's the gospel? It's that Jesus died for your sins, was buried in a tomb, and rose again the third day. And because they didn't want anything to do with that, God gave them over, watch this, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about people say, oh, I'll get saved later. Oh, I'll trust Jesus later as my Savior. And God says, the best time to get saved is the first time you hear the gospel. When you find out you're a sinner damned on your way to hell and that Jesus died for you and rose again, the best time to put your trust in Him, you say, oh, I'll do that later. God says, you keep putting it off and God lets you believe a lie. He sends a lie. You say, God wouldn't do that. It says, God sends them a delusion that they should believe a lie. Why? Because they wouldn't get saved. Anytime somebody says, oh, I don't want to get saved right now, I get scared for them. And I don't take them to this verse and show them, well, you know, if you don't get saved, you're going to... I don't try to scare them into getting saved. But that verse right there goes in my head and I go, look, when there's so many people around the world that have never heard the gospel, how come God doesn't owe you nothing? How come you get to hear the gospel 2 and 3 times and there's people around the world that haven't heard it once? God had mercy on you when He let you hear how to get saved the first time. You don't tell God no. There's consequences to that. Verse 10 and 11 kind of pay tribute to that. So here He describes to them, You've got the second coming, the rapture. You've got the revealing of the wicked or the Antichrist and who he is. Now, knowing that, then let's look at verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Doth already work. On the chart there, from Calvary to the rapture, we're real close to the rapture. I think Jesus is coming. I don't know when. And no, I don't date it. And no... heard somebody joking around saying they think it's September 23rd. I said, well, if it was September 23rd, it's not now. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. But I know this. If you're watching the Middle East, what's happening in Iran, in Jerusalem, in, and I'll give you a country to watch tonight, things are ramping up. And somebody says, oh, things have always been this way. Things have not always been this way. Israel's only been a nation since 1948 for the first time in 2,000 years. No, something's getting ready to happen. Jesus is coming, and I love that statement, and boy, is he mad. Amen? All right. Now, it's doth already work. So back then, in Paul's day, in the early century, it started to work. This means it's working now, the mystery of iniquity, and it's been working and building up since the time Jesus was on the earth. You say, what has been happening for the past 2,000 years? Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, back by Revelation. Go to 1 John. Not John, but 1 John. Go to John, 1 John chapter 2. Okay, ready? Look at verse number 18. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They thought Jesus was coming back then, because there were so many false teachers. You know what a Bible study like this does? When people start going, oh, I wish there wasn't so many churches to choose from, and I wish all Christians would get along, and do you know what the non-denominational crowd is saying? Quit teaching doctrine. Doctrine divides. Doctrine is supposed to divide. It is what determines right from wrong. No, we're supposed to be, but you got Rick Warren and a whole bunch of the all the non-denominational teachers, they're saying, don't teach Bible doctrine. Just teach love and Jesus. How can you tell what's right if people aren't teaching the Bible? That's because they don't want you thinking that way. Back then, he said, there's many antichrists. That's verse 18, right? Look at verse number 22. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ... He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Can you go one more? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. First, just turn over two chapters. Go to 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth, I'm at 1 John 4, 3. And every spirit that confesseth that not... that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Watch this. In the Old Testament, there were many lambs that were slain, right, on the altar by the Jews, right? Picturing the one Lamb of God who would come to take away the sins of the world. In our period, from the cross to now, there's been many antichrists. The Bible says that, right? It says that several times. There's many antichrists. There's been a lot of false teachers in the past 2,000 years. But there's one antichrist who's coming. You understand? There's been many, and then there's one. Just like the Lamb of God, there's been many lambs slain in the Old Testament, but there's only one Lamb of God. All right, you say, why would you do that? Because in the past 2,000 years, the mystery of iniquity that now worketh, it's working now. There's a lot of false teachers. If you ever look at the cults, There's been false teachers before Jehovah's Witnesses, but Jehovah's Witnesses, Church of Christ, they believe you got to get baptized or you go to hell. Okay, that's cultish. That's wrong. That sends people to hell. Church of Christ, Mormons, the more wives you have, the faster you reach godhood and all that other garbage. And you know, if you get to be an elite in the Mormon Church, ladies, you get to be eternally pregnant. Won't that be a blessing? Okay, never mind. It's awful. Okay, it's nasty. All right, but you've got that was a joke. I wish you'd heard that. You got Jehovah's Witnesses, Church of Christ, you got Mormons, you've got Scientology, you've got all of the... Did you know a lot of the false teachers and false teachings that we have nowadays, they've come up in the last 200 years, 150 years? Do you know why? Because as we get closer to Jesus coming, there's going to be more and more false teachers. What do Jehovah's Witnesses teach? They believe there in chapter 4, verse 3, if it says here, 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. The Jehovah's Witnesses have the spirit of Antichrist. Mormons, they don't believe Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus is God. They have the spirit of Antichrist, and it's ramping up for the Antichrist. Okay, so how come there's so many cults and false teachings? Because the mystery of iniquity is now working. There's false religion. There were false religions. When did the Catholic Church form? 313 AD. Constantine, right? There's Marcionism, and there's other. I'm just saying there's been a few cults through history, but the big ones that we know, they're only about 150 years old. Do you know why? Because Jesus is coming. And as we get close to Jesus coming, the mystery of iniquity is now working. It's been working. What else do we see? There's also seducing spirits. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The mystery of iniquity. And I'm going to try to take you as far as I can tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now keep in mind, this is in the first century of the church with God using the Apostle Paul. So this is before he gets his head cut off in 63 AD by Nero. And then he's going to be used of God to pen these words here that you're at in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Watch this. Now the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What's the faith? The faith is the body of doctrine we believe. The Bible's the Word of God, the Gospel. Some will depart from that. Watch this. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice there's not a period there. There's a semicolon. What is seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Now, this is going to floor some of you, but watch. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Still a semicolon, not a period. So what is these doctrines of devils or teachings of demons? Forbidding to marry, verse number 3. What religion do you know forbids marriage so that you can get closer to God? Catholic. That's a doctrine of devils. But what do nuns and priests tell you? Well, I chose celibacy so I could focus on the Lord. And that celibacy, those celibacy vows, have led to sodomy, pedophilia, fornication. Where did all the orphanages come from that the nuns oversaw? Pregnant nuns. They'd send them to an orphanage to have the kids and work in the orphanage. It gets so dark when you go. That's why forbidding to marry is a doctrine of devils. It's not, well, somebody just had a bad idea. It's demonic. Look what else. Forbidding to marry is a seducing spirit. Then look what else God says. He says, and commanding to abstain from meats. Look, if you want to keep meat out of your diet because it lengthens your life, I have no problem, and I will agree with you. Before the flood, Okay? They could eat meat. They didn't eat meat before the flood, and they lived to be over 900 years old. After the flood, God changed their diet so they wouldn't live very long. Now he says 120 years is all man lives. That's a long time to live with a sin nature, right? So what did God do to shorten man's life? He put meat in the diet. We don't have our dog, bless his heart. That dog eats and 10 minutes later it's got to go. You know why? Because its intestine is a straight pipe. Ours does this. For 27 feet. You eat meat, you know how long it takes it for you to leave your system? 3 days. Leave meat on a counter in your kitchen for 3 days and see what happens to it. It rots. Leave it at room temperature. Leave it at 98.6, okay? or whatever our body temperature is. Leave it just in its own bubble and watch what happens to the meat in 3 days. So how come? So to shorten our lives, God put meat in the diet, right? God said, okay, you can eat meat now. They were vegetarians before the flood, now afterwards. If you want to abstain from meat and be vegan, okay, God bless you. But don't tell somebody you can't eat meat or you're sinning against God. When you do that, that's a doctrine of devils. Do you understand? If you choose not to eat meat, or if you find it helps your allergies or whatever, then choose to do so. But don't forbid somebody, and this is what this scripture is talking about. When somebody says, if you eat meat, you're violating scripture and going against God. And what do the Catholics teach? That's how come they eat fish on Friday. It gets hairy. This has been going on a long time, okay? This is nothing recent, but doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. Why? As we get closer to Jesus coming, it's ramping up. Seducing spirits. Can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11? What's happening? The spirit of the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. What is it that's working? What is it that's working? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Look, a Bible study like this helps protect Christians from accepting everything that calls itself Christian. It's a safeguard. You say, how do you know? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, ready? Watch this. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, he said, don't think that weird. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So let me get this straight. A Bible study like this if you understand the mystery of iniquity, then that means your eyes are opened up to everything that calls itself Christian isn't Christian. A lot of it's marketing. A lot of it's for this. Benny Hinn, he's no longer allowed in America, and I'm so glad. Going from hospital to hospital, saying, just bring him down here and we'll heal him. How sad is that? The nurses brought hundreds of patients. The preachers here, they didn't know what religion he was. You want to get healed? You want us to take you down? So they put him in a chair and wheel him down. And Benny Hinn would do his thing in hospital after hospital. People laying on the floor. He'd leave. There's not one record, not one of anyone being healed. Imagine somebody that's lost on their way to hell. The nurse comes up to the bed. You want to go see the preacher? Preacher's here. Man of God's here. He said he could heal you. Yeah, get in the chair here. And then when they're not healed, this is what Benny Hinn would say. Well, they just didn't have enough faith. I'm sure that caused people to cuss God. I think that damaged the cause of Christ. Hundreds after hundreds after hundreds after hundreds going from hospital to hospital. And that's how come Benny Hinn's been kicked out of the country. He's not allowed to do anything here anymore. I'm glad. They should have stopped him a long time ago. He's a false apostle. But he can blow on the choir and blow them back, you know. You ever seen him do that? Where he'll take his jacket off and swing it, you know, and then people fall back. It's all show. And they will be judged according to their works. Do you think Benny Hinn's saved? No, I don't. I think he's a false apostle who claims to be, I think he's a minister of Satan, that claims to be a minister of righteousness. Christians better wake up. That Bible was given to us so you could tell truth from error. How come you listen to so-and-so on the TV? Oh, because he makes me feel good. The devil can make you feel real good. God gave us his word to discern right from wrong. And you better be using it, or watch this, Christian, as we get closer to Jesus coming, there's so many false teachers out there on the internet and garbage now that people have access to. You better get in the book and you better use the Bible and get away from your feelings. Your feelings will deceive you. And that I hope that's a help to you. Let's look at one more. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I realize that this is in looking at the mystery of iniquity, it is a, you could call this a dark Bible study. It's prophecy. We're looking at what's happening as we get closer to Jesus coming. But God says, think about this mystery of iniquity, because it already works. It's already working. And if you think everything that's Christian, that calls itself Christian, you need to open your eyes up. Ready? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Ready? Watch this. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Stop. I have those words, for the time will come. That means when Paul was preaching, it hadn't come yet. We have a spirit of disobedience to work with that the apostles didn't have. The time will come as we get closer to Jesus coming where Christians are going to look at their Bible and say, I don't want it anymore. And then watch, look at the results. Look at the results. It says, after they say that, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What's that mean? Their own lusts. I want drama. Can you act out a Bible story? I'm not against acting out a Bible story, but that's not preaching. That's not Bible teaching. After their own lusts. I want to, can you put a rock band up there? So we can kind of get with it. After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What's that mean? Itching ear is a term that says, I've heard it for so long. I don't want just the Bible. I want you to entertain me now. That's what the term itching ears means. And how many churches are entertainment centers? The Bible isn't taught. Now, I'm all for, and watch this. I love being around the people of our church. And I like shaking hands, and I like fellowshipping, and I like praying and finding out. But we're not an entertainment center. And by God's grace, we'll never have a rock band up here. Amen. By God's grace. I play guitar, but I don't think when I play anybody's got a taste for rock music. Go, man, preacher, that was good. I'm going to go out to my car and crank it up. I don't think so, okay? I don't think so. I work at playing it in a clean way because I know what it's like to play it the wrong way. Having itching ears. The time's coming. We have, that's how come, okay. And now don't take a Bible study like this the opposite way and don't say, look, I still believe God's in the soul-saving business. God's in the life-changing business. We're still seeing people saved, glory to God. And we will. And I believe God, that I believe that'll never stop. But as far as revival happening across our nation, I don't see any revival. Do I believe God can give revival? Yes, I do. Do I see any revival close? No, I don't. I know there's one coming as soon as we're raptured out of here. The greatest revival on the face of the earth will happen. But it won't include me. I heard Brother Hiles pray 3 times when I was at Bible college. This is what he prayed before he'd teach. Listen closely. I heard it with my own ears. He'd say, "Lord, if there was a real revival happening anywhere in the world, I would leave the pulpit right now. I would go buy a plane ticket, and I would go to that place so I could say I've seen revival 1 time before I die." He lived to be, I believe, 72 years old. Saw over 1 million people saved. And Jack Hiles said, "I've never seen revival." He prayed that 3 times. Do I think that America's on the verge of a revival? No, I don't. But are we still supposed to give the gospel? Amen. Yes, we are. God's still saving souls. Amen. God's still changing lives. God's still working. God's not done. Amen. But as the mystery of iniquity works, and as it builds up, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I want the riots to stop. I've been absolutely amazed at the corruption in our country. And I'm glad President Trump's trying to drain the swamp, and I pray for him, and I want him to. But there's some dark people involved. There's spiritual wickednesses in high places. There is a spirit of disobedience that is working. That, yeah, I think prayer is very important right now. I think God has some wonderful things for our church. And I'm personally excited about it. So don't leave here tonight, "Oh, he dumped it on us." it is a dark Bible study, but you need to understand the times you're living in. We're living in weird times. I'll close with this. Tonight when you get in your car, look at the speedometer, and when you're going 12 miles an hour, look at how fast the road is going by you. And do you realize since the train, which got invented in the 1840s, right? Remember? Railroad driving, right? Here in America? Until the train was invented, the fastest man could travel was 12 miles an hour. And if you were on a really fast horse, if you wanted to ride it until it dropped, you could go about 18, 20 miles an hour. You know, and then they'd kill the horse and then get on another horse and ride it. You know what I mean? All I'm saying is the most you could go in one day was 20 miles, and that was at horse breakneck speed. Man hasn't always done this. And it says, as we get close to Jesus coming, man's going to go to and fro. Knowledge will increase. Voila, internet. Knowledge has increased. No, Jesus is coming. Oh, things have always been this way. No, things haven't always been this way. Things haven't always been this way. I think Jesus is coming. And I'm excited about it. And that just pushes me to want to win souls and give out gospel tracts and invite people to church. And man, you got to come on, let's hurry up and get something done before Jesus comes. Because there's some people, it's going to shock them. It's going to shock them. The mystery of iniquity. We might continue this next week. We might continue this because we haven't even looked at the tribulation and the Antichrist yet. Okay, and there's some things that you need to know about him too. Let's pray. Father, please, thank you for your word. Lord, this mystery of iniquity. I know we're supposed to thank you that we're saved. And then, Lord, we're supposed to conduct ourselves as children of light in this dark world.